Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Mets, who now, BT, find themselves on the outside looking in. When you were out last week on, I think it was Wednesday. It was the day after the Peterson. Yeah, it was probably, no, it might have been Thursday. Peterson pitched on the Wednesday night and got beat up. Mets lost to the Padres. And that was after they won two in a row where Alonso hit the walk-off. That Thursday, I came on and said, for the first time, because you know me, I've been not, I hate even using the term positive or optimistic. I just tell you how I feel. And my feel up until that point, really up until the Saturday where they coughed that game up against the Rangers, that was the first time where I was like, uh-oh, I could be wrong about this team, believing that they're going to make it. Then Pete has the walk-off. Then they win the first game against the Padres. And I'm like, all right, let's see what... I still don't believe they've turned the corner. Let's see it. After the Peterson loss, and I'm thinking that Tong was going to get hit the next day, but that Thursday I said, for the first time, I feel like the Mets are going to get caught. They've played with fire far too long. The narrative can't be just hang on, just get us there. Generally, when that's the case, and it's been that way for a while, generally you will get caught. When you're trying anything you can to hang on for dear life, playing with fire, you're going to get burned. And now the Mets, after somehow, like think about what just happened here this weekend. Not only did they play god awful baseball yet again, continuing on since June 13th, they lost 2 out of 3 with their playoff lives on the line to a Nationals team that is...
They just lost two out of three a couple of weeks back.
But still, even that was on the road. Like this, the Nationals are such a garbage team, and with 9 games to go, to me, the Mets had to sweep them to really put, okay, maybe they could move past this and get a playoff spot. Not only did they not sweep, they lost 2 out of 3. So, like, I don't know at what point... Like, how can anybody still believe in this team? Not to mention they're going on the road where they haven't been any good all year long. They keep saying the same things afterwards. Well, we just got to win games. Yeah, well... You've had to win games for months, if not the very least weeks, and you can't do it.
I don't know what the Mets fan pulls out now to try to get them through this outside of, you know, hey, I mean, it's not over yet. I mean, that's where you're at. You know, you talk about hanging on would work for certain teams, but the thing that's shaping up to be just unacceptably all-time bad for this Mets team is that they're not supposed to be hanging on. This was supposed to be a big step forward from last year. Now it's Soto here, and it's just been, it's been a long run of bad baseball, and I don't know why. I mean, I could certainly diagnose that starting pitching not giving you a good chance to win early in the games residually has a crazy impact on the rest of the team. I get that. That's probably the starting point. But man, oh man, this is just a confounding mess. And I actually thought... So you go back to the win where Pete had the walk-off, and then they beat the Padres the next night 8-3. I remember asking you, I said, you know, and you were fairly I don't feel it, you know, just being honest with us. And I said, you know, not even like a flicker of hope with Pete with that home run, like that can't even get you going a little bit. And you didn't really feel it then.
They played bad in that game.
I know. And the way they played this weekend, kicking the baseball around, that is just, they are disintegrating. I don't have an answer for it, except, I mean, there's 6 more games to go, And even if they do find a way to get in, the conversations are going to be deep and wide because this thing's got to get blown up in a million directions.
Remember, a lot of my feel for, oh, they'll be fine, people are panicking, to me, there was too much time left. And also, that was pre-8-game losing streak. Like, things change when you see a team. All they had to do was win a couple of those games. Instead, they lost 8 in a row. Then they washed that down with even in the win against the Rangers on that Sunday. It shouldn't have taken all that. And they should have had the game the night before in the bag. So, like, if you take the results out sometimes and just watch the way that they're playing, it was not encouraging. So that's why I didn't get caught up in that Pete home run. And then again this weekend, like, you mentioned it so bad. And by the way, like, could the Mets be any dumber? Why would you... The one thing that they actually had working outside of Nolan McLean was Holmes into Manaea.
Do you have an explanation for this, why they did that?
They thought, because they alluded to this pre-Manaea even going on the paternity leave, they thought that he matched up better with the lefties against the Nationals. So they're going again on the analytics. They're going based off of analytics. Clay Holmes has been the better starter all year long. And you just found a piggyback solution with him. Start Holmes and go with Manaea. You couldn't even do it two times through? What are you doing? Now, that's not the sole reason why they lost. You mentioned it, kicking the ball around, playing embarrassing baseball, the offense not consistent. But even that is a layup. You had McLean and then Holmes into Manaea, which is one of the more trusted things in that rotation.
I thought I missed something. I'm like, wait a second. Why is now Pete, why is he starting and not Holmes?
Yeah, they alluded to it over the last week or whatever. Now, Manaea was away with the paternity thing. And
I know.
Say he'll come back. And like, so then they have him not only come back, but they have him come back and make the start. Yeah, it was simply matchups based, thinking that they wanted to have him against the Nationals lineup, I guess, to start the game through the first time, couple times through the order, whatever it is.
They've lost every conceivable way. That's emblematic of a team that's just not that good. I mean, imagine if Juan Soto wasn't here. If Juan Soto wasn't on this team, what are they, a 70-win team?
Well, they'd be back.
Honestly.
They'd probably be back to what we thought that they were going to be last year before they went on that incredible run. Look, it's more than just one thing. Like, it's not just a chemistry thing. It's not just a starting rotation thing. It's everything. But it's gotten, like, I actually can't believe that it's gotten this bad. So much so that even if they were to make the playoffs, forget about now, I'm talking about going back a week ago, where I drew my line in the sand saying, I already know what this team is, and I don't care if they make it or not. They need major changes because the damage has been done. There's no excuse for this. There's no excuse for being the third wild card team with their payroll and the amount of talent that they have in that clubhouse. There's no excuse for it. And not only are they not going to barely make it, they're going to miss it. I was wrong last week when I said they were going to miss it. I said they were going to get caught by the Diamondbacks. They're going to get caught by the Diamondbacks and the Reds and maybe the Marlins. Like, honestly, BT, I would not be stunned if they went 1-5. They're dead. They're dead. Anybody watching could say it. They're dead. What makes you think that's going to change? You could hope and you could say, well, there's 6 games left. The same result continues to happen, really, since June 13th. But if you want to just say even as recently as last week or last month, like, all they had to do is win a few games to try to right the ship. It wouldn't have been good enough, but it would have been better than this. This is unacceptable.
And the fans have come out. I know they set the record. I saw that over the weekend. City Field record, right? They shattered that. I mean, with the music, the songs, the crowd, the energy, the belief. They just keep going back despite the overwhelming evidence that this team just doesn't have it. I mean, listen, what I like to do is when things get so bad, I think it's important to establish layers of culpability. So while the season's not over and you don't think they're getting in, Hoff told us 2 weeks ago he thinks it's over. So I know he doesn't think they're getting in. But what is the number one culprit here? I mean,
I think it's David Stearns. David Stearns has had a Brian Daboll type year,
dude,
too.
Dude, his offseason was atrocious in hindsight.
Yeah,
basically, everything he did was wrong.
Yeah, and even at the trade deadline, like, David Stearns needs to still prove himself here. Okay, I don't care what he did in Milwaukee. Nobody did that. Last year was something that he earned some trust because of what he did with the starting rotation when everybody else said, wow, this rotation sucks. But he went out there and had a good, the rotation was good. So good, in fact, that the Mets made it to the postseason, went on their little run, even though they barely made it, still got in and went on a run. And I do think ultimately, much like Dable and Chain, that kind of masked bigger flaws. If the Mets didn't have the result that they did, if they just made the playoffs and got bounced by Milwaukee, if not for the miracle home run by Pete, it'd be a different story.
Yeah.
But because they beat not only the Brewers and the Phillies and then ran out of gas against the world champion Dodgers, like, it felt different. And maybe we were fooled by that, just like we were with the Giants and Shane and Dable. But David Stearns has had a Brian Daboll-esque year, too. Dude, everything he's done has been wrong here. He's got to figure it out. I don't care what the... like, it's one thing for you and I to say, yeah, Helsley, a nice move, and the upgrades in the bullpen. He's got to hit on those moves. Trying to win a World Series here. Like, it's his job to go scout and figure out why Helsley would be the right guy or why he wouldn't be. Or why maybe Bednar would be better or Duran would be better. The Mets fell apart, not to mention the offseason where we all could have told him not to sign Frankie Montas, yet he did. He took a chance on converting a reliever to a starter. Like, David Stearns, his moves act as if he is smarter than everybody else and he knows more than everybody else. The results are going to say that you're this close from having one of the worst seasons and most disappointing seasons in the history of a franchise who is known for disappointing seasons.
I think in the history of New York, I don't think it's just specific to the Mets. I really don't. I mean, I don't even know like what is on the same radar right now as these Mets, where you got to understand what's coming into play here. They had a really good year last year. They spent a lot more money in the offseason. They brought in a superstar, and... like, there's other teams that were supposed to be good, but just, you know, plateaued out, took a step back, injuries, whatever. This is very different. This is a next level hurt, almost to the point where even if they do get in, yeah, of course, Met fans are going to be enthused and hope that they can find a way to get something going. Well, I mean, listen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Getting in versus not getting in, and I'm going to hold on to this. I really am. Now, do I believe that they're going to get in at this point? I mean, the Cubbies aren't playing particularly well. I still feel like the Mets are going to get in. I said that last week. I still feel it, not a lot. But, like, if you do get in, it takes McLain or somebody to spin a gem and Soto to do some damage in the first inning. You take a lead, you feel very differently, very fast. But that doesn't delete or eliminate all these issues. And I'm telling you, like, one thing we don't know about Steve Cohen yet, we don't know how he's going to react. We don't know what this man is going to do when he is embarrassed. And Steve Cohen, while he's been pretty quiet on social media lately, he has to be colossally embarrassed for the expectations, the money that this man laid out going back a couple of years ago to buy a minor league system and all the things that he's done since. And to be at this point with 70, how many wins are they? What's their win total?
Right now?
Well, yeah, what is 80. It? To have 80 wins with a week to go in the season is just disgraceful. It has been an awful season.
Think about this stat here. This is from Sarah Langs, who tweeted this out last night. I saw this. The Guardians were under 500. Now, this is a bigger picture issue with Major League Baseball, but it pertains to the Mets specifically. The Guardians were under 500 through 139 games into the season, and they've been on such a tear right now that they find themselves in a playoff spot, or at least tied for the final wild card spot.
You said 139, right?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
The Diamondbacks were under 500 through 149 games. Under 500 through 149 games. The Reds were under 500 through 151 games. Now, to me, and then just to finish this off from Sarah, The most games into a season that a team was under 500 and made the postseason was the Padres in 2005. There were 157 games in. They were under 500. They still made it. Mets in 1973 was 153. Twins in 09 at 143. Dodgers in 08 at 139. So it doesn't happen that often. And now yet you have two teams with the Diamondbacks and the Reds who were given life in an otherwise dead season, given life because the Mets came crashing all the way back down. This is not what happened in 2022 where the Braves came up to catch the Mets. The Mets didn't collapse. They won 100 games that year, 101 games that year.
Yeah, yeah.
The Braves went up to get them.
Mm-hmm.
This is not that. This is the Mets slowly leaking oil from June 13th on to the point where they allowed teams that would otherwise be dead, even with the expanded postseason, to come back to life. And now, so much so that they're on the outside looking in and obviously don't have the tiebreaker with the Reds, who they're tied with right now, and are one game in front of the Diamondbacks and don't have the tiebreaker there either.
And it's amazing that they just lose any kind of game. Like, you lose a high-scoring game 12-6, then you lose in 11 innings, then you lose a nail-biter yesterday, throw it all around the field. It's just, the Manaea giving up that two-run shot, the defense now, circus catches in center field, whether it's Alvarez at the end of the game, whether it's the other play, you know, where he's playing hacky sack, as everybody saw, Pete sprawling in the dirt. I mean, balls going flying all over the infield. It's just really a mess. And now, what is it? So, maybe you remember this. I don't know if you did a Rico yesterday, but is it Peterson? I don't have it in front of me.
Tonight, Peterson,
Peterson, Tong, Sprout, right? I believe that's what the Mets have going.
I think Peterson, Tong, Sprout. Mendoza only committed to, I saw the post game yesterday, only committed to Peterson. Beyond that,
Okay. Yeah. So, if it lines up the way it was, then it will be Tong and then Sprout, I believe. But he's not non-committal past Peterson.
Which, by the way, even Peterson.
I don't know what to tell you, man. This is.
I know what to tell you. It's over. And I actually, bracing myself for it after that Rangers series, even though I didn't believe it, bracing myself for it has made me feel better because I just accepted what I believe to be their fate. Now, it doesn't mean that that's going to happen. Yeah. Could they go out there and find a way to get themselves in? Sure. But I'm telling you, when you try to hold on, when you play with fire like this to this extent, generally you get burned. And they have been burned, and they'll be burned for good over the course of the next 7 days.
They very well might be. Listen, I remember saying probably, not at the beginning when they were starting to play poorly, because I didn't want to jump on them right away, but, you know, maybe 3 weeks into, or maybe even a month into when they really took it down. So maybe when the Pirates series happened, whenever that was, I forget exactly where they played.
It was end of June, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds about right. Right before 4th of July, I guess.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They played terribly. They just got whacked and just abused in that series. Like, it was such a ugly series. I remember saying, like, man, this, I'm starting to see a team where it looks like they're bad at more things than they're good at. And, like, it just seemed like I'm sure for some, like an oversimplification, like, oh, okay, whatever. Yeah, they're bad at everything, they're good at nothing. I was never saying that. But what I was fearful of for the Mets is that just when they solved one thing, something else sprouted up. You know, the starting pitching was very good early. Then it went on hiatus. Then the bullpen fell apart. Then they got a little sloppy on the bags. Then the clutch hitting wasn't there for most of the season. Then they couldn't hit a fastball, as we talked about when you look at the advanced analytics. And then anything that you can possibly have go wrong, not beating the teams you're supposed to beat, not winning at home when you won at home most of the year. There's basically the manager having a rough second year, as I've said. Everything's gone wrong. And, you know, would it solve everything if they win a couple of games here and squeeze in? Probably not, because I still think it's wrecking ball this offseason. But it ain't over. That's all you're holding on to. I know that you think it is. I respect that, Hoff. I know you think it is. I respect that. I'm sure if I were a Met fan, I'd be sitting here saying the same thing. It's over. There's no evidence, and the blind faith is expired. Don't waste my time talking about this team, believing in a team that has sucked fumes for 4 months. However, the reality of it is, it's still not over.
Hoss, you want to add something there?
I just one thing, because when they do miss the playoffs this year, I want everyone to realize that the conversation in the offseason should not be about Edwin Diaz and Pete Alonso, which is where most of it's going to be. Those are going to be the top two targets of, ooh, they're both going to get opt out. What are we going to do? How are we going to bring them back? It is every other position not named Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor. It's every starting pitcher on this team. It's the entire bullpen. It's basically the entire team. You're talking about the third base situation between Beatty, Vientos, and Mauricio. I'm sorry, you can't go into another season of them cycling around and seeing which one's going to work out. You got to be definitive and make a decision and move on from others and get
good players here now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's going to be a conversation for, in fact, the offseason. But I would disagree with some of what you said there. We'll have that conversation probably next week. Once it's over, I mean, that's going to be the we're going to focus on the Yankees being in the postseason and thankful for them that they can maybe go on a run here. They're starting to play their best baseball. Now, is that fool's gold with the opponents that they're playing? Whatever it may be, the Yankees are going to be in and have a legitimate chance to go back to a World Series and maybe win one this time where there's no world beater in the National League either, even though the Brewers are good, the Phillies are good, Dodgers always scary. No excuse why the Yankees can't win a World Series, but the conversation about the Mets, I feel, BT, is going to be about what changes need to be made so they don't find themselves in this predicament again next year.
And it's not tweaks. It's an overhaul. That's going to be a deep conversation, which we will certainly have, obviously. So, Mets fans, you want to jump in. What a rough road, my God. It's been brutal to watch. And the football is absolutely horrendous. Yeah, I mean, it's the Yankees right now, and that's it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.